The Splendor of You. Here is your host, Debbie Sansone Schlaprisi.
Hi, I'm Debbie Schlaprisi. Welcome to The Splendor of You. Today I'm really excited because not only do I think that the guest that you're going to hear from momentarily is an incredibly bright, wonderful man, but besides that, he's a friend. And the gentleman I'm speaking about is Dr. Richard Johnson. Dr. Johnson, I can't remember how long ago I met you, but I'm thinking, would it be a decade? Would it be?
Oh, at least. I remember meeting you very clearly. I was giving a talk down at the Regali Center.
Right.
And there were probably 100 people there. And if I could say this, typically you were a little late.
Okay.
But I remember being at the podium and seeing you walk in. And I said, I don't know her.
Right.
But I think I'd like to get to know her.
Oh,
anyway.
God
bless
you.
That had to be 12, 15
years. Yeah, I'm thinking
ago.
A dozen years ago or so. So, dear listeners, I have to tell you that it's not only, my honor and my joy to present to you this gentleman who is a noted Catholic psychologist. I have to tell you, folks, he's written over 50 books. That's 50. I wrote one and it about knocked me out. Anyway, his ministry is senioradultministry.org. But before you think that this show is about seniors, which it is, because we are, it's also about whoever you may be. This is an ageless topic we're going to talk about, because Dr. Johnson's other emphasis of his work is spiritual strengths. And that website is spiritualstrengths.org and senioradultministry.org. Dr. Johnson has spoken in more than one half of the dioceses in America, and probably more than half of the various religious orders across the country. Dr. Johnson, you've had retreats, classes. You've started a couple of schools on your own. I got a feeling you were living in airports for a long time pre-COVID. Is that correct? I'm thinking.
Probably every week. Right?
Yeah, see? But Dr. Johnson has a private practice here in St. Louis. He has his PhD from the University of Florida, and he has an honorary PhD from Holy Cross in Notre Dame. This gentleman is a husband, a dad, a grandfather, and an all-around incredibly brilliant, wonderfully compassionate, great man. God bless you. So thank you, Dr. Johnson, for being with us today.
Debbie, you know the pleasure is all mine. And
thank you.
You honor me too much.
No,
really.
But anyway, folks, I have to tell you, here's the deal. Dr. Johnson was one who directed and helped me a great deal with my work, The Splendor of You. And he sees a real correlation between the splendor of you and splendor that is, you know, our God-given gift, that handprint of God upon us, and the virtues. And so today we're going to explore just a little bit about that and the practical application of how you, me, how we can all become happier, more wholesome, fuller people by truly beginning to learn and to adapt the virtues. So, Dr. Johnson, will you go forward? Help us with this. Unpack this, if you will, for us.
Yeah, I don't know why the Lord brought me to virtue as being a primary focus of my energies, but the Lord did. And so virtue to me is everything. Virtues are the tools that are animated in us by grace. Grace is the energy directly from God, but what does grace energize? What is grace moving us to be about? And if you come down to the basics of it, in my view anyway, it's virtue. So virtue is seen many times as a practice to say, well, that person's merciful or that person's charitable.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the behavior. But mm-hmm. the tool in there is something we can use any place. So I've done a lot of research on this and identified 30 what I call healing virtues. And as I was involved with your book, Splendor of You, and going through, you have 33 different narratives and reflections in this book, and each is about a different person. And as I read it through the lens of my viewing life and God's life in me through the eyes of virtue, I see a virtue or more in every one of these stories.
Hmm.
And I think if we can crack this open, I mean, you give us this wonderful spread. It's like a a beautiful meal that you give us, right? And yet the meal sitting in front of us, unless we can pick it up and chew on it, you know? So the virtues are sort of like the knife, fork, and spoon that enable us to get it and to bring it into it and make it real in our own lives, Deb.
You know? See.
It's real to make it real. And this is real, what's going on here, as far as virtue is concerned. Virtue is not some pie in the sky. We live by virtue. I just finished another book called Find True Happiness. I don't know, it'll come out in another month maybe, something like that. But virtue, the whole basis of the book is that virtue brings us true happiness, not happiness of the world, but happiness of the Lord within us. We go through difficult times in our lives, all of us do, but we can still feel and experience joy in our hearts, even when we're going through the most difficult times. And what that joy, that is virtue. That is the power of virtue. Sorry if I get a little
but Dr. Johnson, how do we begin to access that, though, for ourselves?
First of all, like anything else, being a psychologist, we have to become aware of it. If we don't have any awareness, then we're not going to get very far. So awareness of what? The fact that you have been blessed quite uniquely. All of my research in virtue tells me, I mean, get this, this is amazing. Every person in the entire world has been specially gifted by God with a not only a unique set of virtues, but the way that those virtues are supposed to be used. And the closer we get to God through prayer, through our activities, through the sacraments, through all of that, what the church is teaching us, the closer we get to virtue, the closer we get to know who we are. And that's where our true happiness is. You know, Jesus comes to bring us love. Perfect love casts out fear. What does fear do? It confounds us. It paralyzes us. And it's the opposite. It's exactly the opposite. Actually, fear is the absence of love. Where there is no love, there is always fear. So we're going to talk a little bit about that too today. But what I wanted to do today, I hope we can get to do today in the little time we have, is I'd like to look at the first five reflections in your book and just talk about the virtues that I see are innate, implicit in those stories. And so we're going to look at not only the stories or the narratives or the reflections in your book, but we're going to also learn about virtue here. And in that, I hope that our listeners today can get a fuller picture, perhaps, not only of your book, but also of what virtue is, and to move that forward. And maybe we can talk about this again if it, if it works.
Thinking, Dr. Johnson, for me, virtue's always sort of been this blur. You know, be merciful, be patient, those things. But to be able to begin to really live that, to see what that is for me. And I'm thinking about our listeners and how for each one of them, we each one of us have a different walk. But it's more how do we begin to discover for ourselves how we put that in place, because everybody wants to be happier. So I'm sorry, I'm not, I don't want to interrupt you, but so go ahead, take us, lead us into the a first step, if you want to say, or a way to look at this.
Sure. You know, it may be another byway preface here. I worked for 15 years at what used to be St. John's Mercy, and now it's just Mercy Hospital, and I was teaching residents and interns what I call the art of medicine. And so every day I'd go around with the doctors and do rounds in the hospital, and it became very clear that there were some patients there who were doing this thing called being a patient, and that they were sick. They were there in the hospital. They were diagnosed. You know, these are people who were clearly sick. But there was a certain subset of them that handled this whole travail of sickness differently. And I was incredibly moved. I mean, the Holy Spirit moved me to be asking this question. So I'd ask the doctor, I'd say, what do you think about this patient over here in room 258 or whatever? And I said, is she, what do you, she's wonderful. She's terrific. We like to go in there. And then I said, well, what is it that's different about her? What would you say is different? And they'd always tell me exactly, the nurses, the doctors, all the attending physicians, she has a good attitude. And I'd say to myself, what constitutes a good attitude.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
5-year research led from that. And at the end of the research, what was it that gives us a good attitude and allows us to truly enjoy life and really see things? Virtue. You could have blown me over because that was not the answer that I was looking for.
And Dr. Johnson, how do you define virtue? Like when you say virtue did it, I'm thinking, okay, now how do I grab some virtue? Because I sure want to be like that lady in that hospital room. So how do I dig up my virtue?
Virtue is the goodness that's within you.
Okay.
Virtue is that which brings you to God. Virtue is that which allows you to find truth, beauty, and goodness in the world. Virtue is enables you to be able to have good relationships with your friends, your spouse, your children, whatever. Everything is virtue. We don't see it. We don't get it. That it's virtue is driving it all, and grace is energizing the virtue.
Okay.
So virtue is like tools for good living, tools for being wholesome and being happy. That's what virtue is.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot.
I got it.
A lot more to it.
Okay.
Anyway, could I go into your book now?
This is sure.
Really kind of fun. The first reflection,
yes.
You calling it Seeing Your Splendor, and I call it Our Blessed Mother, because that's who you're talking about.
Yeah,
here.
I talk about the Blessed Mother. Yeah, right, right.
You start the book with the Blessed Mother, and you call her the Queen of Universe, which of course she is called, but you call her a woman, if not the woman of splendor. And you go on to say that she's been highly favored, yes, with the, you know, the
yes.
archangel coming to her,
yes.
et cetera. And there you talk a little bit about splendor is what? It is our divine, these are your words, our divine DNA. And I love that.
Mm-hmm.
It is because God has planted that. I mean, DNA is physiologically what makes us, why we have blue eyes instead of brown, and why
sure.
our hands are shaped the way we are,
sure.
and even
yeah.
our personality in a lot of ways is shaped but not given life.
Mm-hmm.
Virtue gives life, is what it does.
Okay.
So when you talk about the Blessed Mother being God's great idea, splendor
yeah.
is that, and that you, in other words, the reader, mm-hmm. you're saying, you have been given God's splendor,
mm-hmm.
too,
yes.
and it's in you. And then you start asking questions like, do you sometimes shortchange yourself? Do you mm-hmm. find excuses to leave your own splendor buried and dormant?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm asking, well, what is splendor?
Mm-hmm.
My answer to that is splendor is the amalgamation. It's the constellation of virtue that God has given you.
Mm-hmm.
It's power. Virtue
That's
is
right.
power.
Yes.
And then you add and say, well, you know, We need to persevere in hope and prayer. We need to dare to dream big dreams, even when we're disappointed, and that you are God's original goodness.
Mm-hmm.
In your truest self, you are God's goodness.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking, that is so beautiful. So I'm thinking, well, what virtue is this? You know, what virtue would I say is closest to it? And it may seem strange. I don't know if it does or not. But the virtue that I see in this story is the virtue of humility. Now think of the Blessed Mother.
Truth.
Mm-hmm. Humility, is it? So what is humility? Well, humility means that you're requiring very little to satisfy your ego needs.
Mm-hmm.
Ego self is your world self, as opposed to your true self.
Mm-hmm.
So humility is being free from affectation. You're not playing yes. roles here. This is the genuine you.
Wow, that's so cool. Yeah.
Humility right. is being free from projecting an image that is not really you. We
mm-hmm.
all do that. We wear mm-hmm. masks, you know, we
sure.
do that.
Sure.
It's what we call it a persona in psychology.
Mm-hmm.
Humility is being completely honest with yourself
mm-hmm.
and with others, but not brutally so. And ultimately, humility allows us to be free from worry
mm-hmm.
and really untainted by the cares of the world. It's not that we're in la-la land here, but humility actually means real. To
yes.
be
it,
real.
It, yeah, that's so cool. I get what you're saying. If I'm thinking about how do I begin to employ the virtues, how do I, first of all, it's the idea that God, it's from God, and that grace
right.
will energize and power it. But the idea of humility and the idea with regard to our splendor in our own personal lives is to constantly remind ourselves of what's really important? You know, it's right.
Exactly.
What's really important? And you know, Dr. Johnson, mm-hmm. I wasn't anticipating sharing this, but I am right now. We just had a new little granddaughter, as you know, and we just found out that she has Downs. And
yes,
all of a sudden, there is a bit of a shift, you know, in expectations. However, mm-hmm. what I've really been in this very, very short time, I've been blessed to have an opportunity to think about what's really important. What is really beautiful? And in many ways, I was listening to a wonderful author. I think her name is Beck, and she's from Harvard. Anyway, she's done a great deal of research, probably not as much as you, Dr. Johnson, but a great deal of research. But the whole idea was that when she was debating about whether or not to, as they would say in the culture, terminate your pregnancy, which really means, you know, kill the unborn baby, destroy the unborn baby, abort the baby. She said she started looking around, and as she said, you know, I have no personal judgment about how any of this works. Now, she and I have a very different viewpoint on that. But she said, I started looking around about what was real happiness. Was real happiness having four homes or possibly one that had joy in it or an apartment? I don't know. It's this whole scenario, which is new for me, this path, has opened up for me in a very brief time. What is important, Debbie? What really matters? And I guess, Dr. Johnson, that's some of what you're telling us right now, correct? With humility.
I have shivers, yeah.
Okay.
And all the virtues, because if I could say this, this child is going to teach us the virtue of simplicity.
Yes.
Like we've never learned it before.
I know what you're saying, Dr. Johnson. But I also think about who is she going to be? And I also, Dr. Johnson, think about the possibilities and the potential and that she's an individual. And even more, when I say even more, it has prompted me to look at myself. What do I value? What's really important? It made me start thinking about, this woman talks about this, Beck talks about, she was, and this is no reference, this work was done years ago, but she talks about some of the people who were surrounding her, which were the brightest minds maybe in the world, and really were excelling, were not particularly happy people. Now, that's obviously not to say that when we excel and we're successful that we cannot employ virtue, absolutely, but without it, we're shot, no matter what we've got.
There's no happiness.
Exactly.
Without virtue, there's no happiness.
So for all of us that are learning and you're teaching us, if you had to put it in one sentence, the idea of the virtue of humility and how to utilize it for ourselves, what would you say?
I'd say virtue is being the real, genuine me.
Okay, got it.
Humility is being the real, genuine me. In other words, we think of humility sometimes saying, oh, well, you know, you do something or whatever, and somebody says, oh, that's really fantastic. And you say, oh, no, you know, that was nothing.
Uh-huh.
Well, it is something.
Yes.
And it's the virtue of humility that allows you to say, yes, it is something, not in a boastful way ever, but in a way that's saying, God gave me the grace to be able to do that. So it's not, humility is not, some people think of humility as kind of a put down.
No.
Oh, yeah, he's a very humble person. No, humility is always building up. It's not boastful. It's not anything about ego. It's about the real, like you're asking, what is truly important?
Mm-hmm.
Humility gets us to what is truly important.
I got it. How does ego interfere with that, Dr. Johnson?
Oh, my golly. Our ego self tries to pull us away from the Lord. The ego can only see the world. And we have to have an ego to be able to learn how to pay taxes and stop at red lights. In other words, conform to the ways of the world so that we get along here. But we can't stop there. Our faith is calling us way beyond ego. But ego wants to control you, wants to run your show. Your show is called psychology. It's your personality. Your ego wants to control your personality. So where the ego is going, they want to pull you away from humility, because when you're in humility, the ego's not in charge. Mm-hmm. Your true self is in charge. That's what you want. That's where whole happiness is. So where does the true self, the ego self pull you? The absence of humility is self-centeredness.
Okay.
And that is self-inflation, puffing yourself up, affecting affecting mannerisms of egotism, boastfulness, self-love, putting on airs, neglecting your truth and other people's truth, because all you're trying to do is impress other people when you're self-centered like that.
That's so great. So, what a gift we have with the sacrament of reconciliation. All those little, you know, adjectives you just used as like, hello. Yeah. But we can confess those and we can move on. And like you said, when there's an awareness of it, and an awareness that when we're plugged in to the virtues that God's given us, there's happiness there. There's joy there, right? There's a contentment. Is that right, Dr.
Absolutely.
Jones?
It's a rock of contentment.
It's
a joy that cannot be taken away, even when you're going through dark times.
Okay.
But that joy is still there.
Yeah.
Well, we can be sorrowful. Of course, we're sorrowful. We can mourn the death of someone. We can, you're not, quote, happy about getting a disease, et cetera.
No.
But underneath it, with virtue, you have this underlying happiness.
Yeah. Right, right.
That doesn't leave. Yeah.
Yeah. I found for myself that also just in times of real stress, and it sounds ridiculous, it sounds so basic, but just breathing in and out and thinking, Jesus, help me, be with me. You know, just that moment of breathing in, breathing out, just settling myself down in the midst of a lot of anxiety or stress or surprises, like our little one, this little granddaughter of ours, which she's a great gift already. Okay, so Dr. Johnson, are we ready to go on to another virtue?
Yeah.
May we? Okay.
Let's go to number two. This is very interesting here. And you've brought us to the Accademia Museum in Florence. section where Michelangelo's David.
I was going to say David. Yes, David.
David.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
And you tell us that Michelangelo, how did he do this? Create out of this chunk of stone?
Yes.
You know, how did he create this? The splendor of this statue, the magnificence of it. And you point out to us that, well, Michelangelo could see that all he had to do was take away the part of the stone that wasn't David.
Yes. You shared that with me years ago, and I loved it. I was like, yes, all I have to do is get rid of all of the excess, and finally I'll get down to Debbie. Now, it might take two lifetimes, but I'm about it. But anyway, I love that when you told me about that. So, okay, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that, so your point, which is so, and you connected it with splendor, and you're saying, well, splendor in that stone, Michelangelo found, is the splendor in the stone. And you turn it around and you say, well, what's the splendor in you?
Yes.
And maybe life is about debreeding yourself, so to speak, chunking away, you know, the things that aren't you, and finding the true magnificence of your own reality.
Yes.
And this is our journey in life. This is what we are to be about. So today, you're saying, here, I'm reading from your book, today, ask God to help you begin chiseling away all that is not authentically you. And you say, this journey takes time. You won't arrive there immediately. So I read that, and I said, well, I know what virtue this is. This is the virtue of patience.
It
takes only one lifetime to chip away all this stuff. Right?
Yes. And so, even patience with ourselves, huh?
Oh, that's what I mean.
Yes.
Patience with ourselves and patient with God. So
yes.
What is patience? Let's take a look. Patience is to tap into the mysterious calm of the universe within you.
Hmm. Say it one, Dr. Johnson, say it, repeat it if you will. One
patience
more time.
Is tapping into the mysterious calm of the universe within you.
Wow.
We're talking here about the cosmic Christ.
That calm and peace. Okay.
The cosmic Christ. Patience is to calmly continue in the face of adversity or hardship.
Okay.
Patience is to transcend worldly impulses and replace them with the surety of love.
Help me understand what you mean when you say the cosmic Christ.
Ah.
Help me with that.
Yeah, cosmic Christ. We have a universe here, and most of the universe. This is the way I see it. I don't know if the Vatican would agree with me. I don't know, but anyway, this is the way I see it. Cosmic Christ is that there's so much space in the universe. We have no idea how much space is there, and our job is to help Jesus expand the universe of love.
Okay.
So So okay. all of what we think is vacant in the universe, where there's nothing, the cosmic Christ is there.
Okay.
That's where the cosmic... So, yes, the cosmic Christ is in all the stars and all the planets and all the gases and all the constellations and all the universes and galaxies that are up there. Yes. And the cosmic Christ fills every space in you.
I was about to say, I was just thinking to myself, I think I don't know what saint it was, but it was that Jesus is closer to me than I am to myself. He is so much a part of me, of you, dear listeners, of each and every one of us. It's hard to imagine that, but it's Jesus is closer to me than I am to myself, closer to you than you are to yourself. There's something really powerful about that.
Oh, so, it's phenomenal.
Yeah.
It's phenomenal to think of that. And you think, well, who's thinking these thoughts you have? Is it your ego self or is it your true self? The true self is the presence of Christ
of God
within you.
Within me, yeah.
And the way we get a grip on that is saying, well, this is a virtue. This is God's tool. We can't create virtue. Okay. Human beings cannot create virtue. Virtue only comes from love. That's what a virtue is. It's love.
It's
a manifestation of love. All virtue comes from love.
Okay.
So we have love within us. Right? So if we don't have patience, then what do we have? Well, I call it the shadow of patience is impulsiveness.
Sure.
Demanding action now. Yes. I have to have it now. And so you become explosive and you punish yourself and you try to elbow other people out of the way and you have drive, drive, drive. And you become impetuous and compulsive and thoughtless in your decision-making because it has to happen right. Well, no, just like your story says, your narrative, your reflection says, this takes time.
Please.
It happens in God's time, that's all.
Yeah. I'm also thinking that when we find ourselves in that spot, because I know for myself when I get, usually fears in there too, when I'm, you know, getting angry or, as you said, you know, demanding. It's really like boom, boom, boom. It's like a sergeant saying, get in line, get in line. Those are moments then when we can remind ourselves, Holy Spirit, Jesus, breathe in and breathe out. And Lord, give me patience. Let me step back a minute. You know, are those good ideas? Do you have any thoughts as to how we access patience in the midst of those crazy moments or where we're like, are you kidding me? You know, and we start getting crazy and it's accelerating. What's a way to
be always mindful and you know, maybe in a psychological way, they have this, there's a lot of research out there, a lot of talk about mindfulness and what you just said about breathing in and remembering that you have virtues within us in them.
Okay.
I have a test I give all my patients and it will tell them their six most, I call them their signature premier spiritual strengths or virtues.
Yes.
And that drives your personality. That's the energy that really is the true you.
Okay.
That's the true you.
Wow.
And when we have that, then we have an awareness of, oh, this is how I've been gifted. Ah, I see that.
Mm-hmm.
And if I don't show my virtue, I'm going to show compulsion.
Well, Dr. Johnson, I have to tell you that I find this, wow, I didn't know when we were going to begin the show today what this was going to be like, but I have loved every second of this. And I'm realizing we're running out of time. I'm thinking, I'd love to have you, maybe we could do a few shows, you know, a sequence of them following this, because I find this, and I hope our listeners do as well, to be really practical and eye-opening and just a day-to-day way to begin to live the life we're called to live. Could you work with us a few more times? I think maybe we could possibly, you know, set aside a few shows for this if you might be able to make that happen.
I'd love to.
Oh, God bless you.
I would love to.
God bless you. Yeah. Well, thank you. And I know that, I think, don't you have a prayer that you wanted to share in closing? I think it had to do with
hope.
If
we have time, I'd love to.
Sure we do. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, good. This is the morning prayer for hope in my books called Prayer for Spiritual Strength. So in the name of the Father, Son,
the Holy Spirit, amen.
God, I know that you are the architect of my soul. You chose to place the power of hope in me. And I know that you expect me to be a whole fragment of your hope for the world. I know that I am most happy, healthy, and holy am in love with you in hope. Let me greet this day with the enthusiasm and optimism that flows only from your hope. Help me always respond in hope, and not react with my shadow of despair or my compulsive presumption. The splendor of the virtue of hope lights my way and leads me to you today. And in that journey, I know I will find healing of my soul in hope. I will find it in me and around me, all reflections of you, Lord. So today, propelled by your gift of hope, I have absolute assurance that your power of love can never be eclipsed. There's no power in the universe stronger than your love. I have a deep conviction that your love will always remain the compelling power in the cosmos. Amen.
Praise you, Jesus. In the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Oh, Dr. Johnson, thank you so much. And, you know, for me, just to recap this quickly, basically what we've talked today about is that you've been able to share with us the beauty of virtue and how virtue can be ours. It's already there. It's the handprint of God upon us, that once we begin to realize that we have these virtues within us, we can begin to live them. And today we talked about patience and humility. And humility is really getting back. Tell me if I'm right. I'm your little student here. If I'm right, that humility is basically getting back to our true self, not ego, not putting on airs, none of that, who God created us to be. And patience is that whole idea of knowing that things can take time, of knowing that it's in God's time, of trying to avoid that demanding, that pushing, that shoving, even that internal push to do more, 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 as opposed to according to God's timetable. Is that close, Dr. Johnson?
Thank you. I couldn't have done it better.
Oh, well, praise God. See, you're a good teacher. Well, Dr. Johnson, thank you for being with us. Friends, thanks for listening in to The Splendor of You. I hope that this has been enlightening to you as it is for me. I can't wait to just even for our next show, to hear even more. So God bless you, and may God continue to help us to grow in humility and peace and the splendor that is ours. Remember, friends, it's www.splendorview.com. And our guest today, Dr. Richard Johnson. God bless you. Thanks for tuning in. Thank you, Dr. Johnson. And take care.
Thank you.
This has been The Splendor of You with Debbie Sansone-Schlaprezy.